Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are moving through Sefer Bamidbar, and we are up to another intriguing parsha. That's right, Parshat Korach. So many commentaries grapple with the precise nature of Korach's reason for rebelling, and we're going to just briefly get into it because, you know, talk about it probably for days. But three primary answers are given, and they're as follows. Number one, not necessarily in order. He blamed Moshe for the episode of the spies and the resulting fact that Bnei Yisrael would have to remain in the Midbar for 40 years total, and they needed a different leader, perhaps someone as Korach. Number two, even if Moshe was in general destined to be the leader, it seemed to Korach like favoritism that Moshe's brother would be the Kohen Gadol. Why could it not be someone else directly related to Moshe, someone else from the tribe of Levi? And why couldn't there be more Kohanim than just Aaron and his son? So he thought there was favoritism involved. And they thought that he perhaps was perhaps he was taking a little bit more power for himself than he deserved. And Korach found the famous Rashi and Midrash about tzitzit and similar things. The oral law, oral laws that he was teaching, supposedly, transmitting from Hashem, they found them to be suspicious. The most famously about Tcheles. If Tcheles was the primary essential color, was it still needed for the string? I mean, with the chelet string still needed on a garment that was entirely the chelet, right? So there's a lot of similar questions like that he didn't fully understand, and he couldn't believe that Moshe didn't alter it in some way, whatever that means. Now, in all these cases, Korach should have, or really would have realized, that Moshe was the one who spoke directly to Hashem, who's atop Har Sinai in Hashem's glory for multiple sets of 40 days. Korach witnessed the direct approval of Moshe Rabbeinu by Hashem himself via all of the manifestations that happened. The sages therefore state that Korach's motivation, while possibly seeming to be reasonable, was actually greatly influenced by his ego and also his desire for power. Now, Korach was actually a very, very righteous man, but even a righteous man can become blind. Right? And there's a lot to talk about the power of the eye, and we're going to continue to talk about that a little bit. And sometimes through the eyes is the most direct way that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, can get to you. Now, looking back at what precedes this parsha, it's the mitzvah and the commandment to wear tzitzit, right? And hence, an appropriate juxtaposition. It's certainly no coincidence that it's one of Korach's main gripes, at least according to the way we understand it. Now, taking a step back to focus on the lessons of last week's parsha, the 10 spies also had not entirely pure motivation, even though there's debate about what it was. Perhaps it was relating to fear, power, or just they wanted to be more in the shadow of Hashem's Shekhinah and not have to, work and toil and deal with the physical world. But they seemingly had some other ulterior motives. Again, there's a lot there. They may have had mostly good motivation, but they were still blind a little bit due to their own personal objectives. Interestingly enough, the Torah uses the word tzitzit precisely three times, as we say in the third paragraph of the Shema, and the concept of this is explained by the Netivot Shalom. He explained that the three instances refer to sight, symbolizing the eyes, desire, symbolizing the heart, and the action, symbolizing the hands. There's so much to talk about this, but I'm just going to briefly mention a few pieces. The tzitzit are known to be protection from immoral mitzvot, chasing after lusts and things of this world, or as you say, towards the end of third paragraph of the Shema. First, if one sees something inappropriate or wrong, then one contemplates it and desires it in his or her heart, and then they may act upon it. But the tzitzit function, hopefully, as a reminder when you see them, says Uritimoto. Even one string, right, even Uritimoto, even one string of the tzitzit can still remind you. I mean, there have to be eight in the first place, but I'm saying, like, even if you just see one of the strings, that can remind you. So when the Torah does write, it's telling us several different things. So one, that when you're looking at something, it can lead to other things. But also, normally one sees something and then desires it, but it can happen the other way. And if Hashem is warning us, it can also happen in the reverse. Don't first go after what your heart wants, and therefore you're going after what you perceive or see in order to fulfill what the heart wants. In other words, it can color or distort your vision. When you want something to be a certain way or to have a certain thing, you may have a certain perspective that is tainted. The spies had an agenda and that colored their perception, causing them to see things in a negative light. So too, Korach had a motive, possibly several motives, and this distorted the way that he saw things. It should have been clear to him that what Moshe was doing was ordained by Hashem. I mean, there were so many proofs one of which I even talk about in this week's Dvar, that like he was criticizing him for like, how to explain it, but like if he would have just thought about it with a clear mind, it would have been so obvious that like if Moshe really was quote unquote manipulating things in a certain way, then Hashem wouldn't have approved and allowed all of these things to happen, because Hashem is a God of MS. Hashem is a God of truth. So there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle, but like Korach clearly didn't see things in the clearest way of looking at the pieces. He kind of missed the big picture. So speaking about the big picture, there's a concept about the word techeles and light. There's interesting things about the blue spectrum and a lot of things about the colors in general they use by the Beit HaMikdash and things like that. A lot of very interesting, hidden, mystical things about techeles. Now, regarding techeles, which again was one of Korach's gripes, it's spelled tuf chaf lamed tuf. Now, it's a very interesting word because it's the word kol, meaning all, chaf lamed, surrounded by two tuvs, which represent mystically finality. If one wants to see the final picture, the whole truth, one must look at everything in its entirety, something which we see by the word al in MS, the beginning. Aleph, you got to see the beginning. Mem, you got to see the middle. And tav, you got to see the end. Korach missed the big picture by focusing upon his wants. Whether it was conscious or subconscious, it wasn't necessarily so clear, but the point is it distorted his vision. Yet everybody in Bnei Israel was special. Korach was correct about that. And, you know, every person does have a job, and not everybody can be leaders, and you can't have this chaotic rule where there are no leaders, and everybody can't just get what they want because they feel like they need to have it, although we're almost living in that society today. Everybody has important roles to play, but Hashem knows what's correct and whom should be performing which task. And it was very impudent of Korach to assume otherwise. It's important to look at all sides, take a step back and try to look at things from multiple perspectives. Now, speaking of sides, I did it with partially on purpose. I heard an interesting, you know, word by Rabbi Gladstein. This is so amazing. Apologies, I don't remember who he was quoting. But he said, Korach should have been a pikeach, right? He was a very wise person. A pikeach is somebody who is very, literally means like clear and open and whatever. But it's like somebody who's like very, they can just see all the different aspects of things. They're very, very wise. Right, and the gematria of Pikeach is 188, which is two times the word tzad, tzad meaning side. If you have one side and another side, and you can see both tzadim equally, you're able to look at both. It doesn't mean you necessarily lean one way or the other, but you can see the elements of both sides, and you can weigh them, and you're not looking from one of the sides to the other sides, but you can weigh the different things, then that's a person who's wise. Korach was tilted towards one side. He wasn't a pikeach, even though he should have been. And Rabbi Gladstein was also saying that if you do have a pikeach and they get together with another pikeach, so if Korach was wise and he used his righteous religious strength and presumably brains and leadership power for good and united with Moshe instead of arguing with him, then you would have one pikeach and another pikeach who would be unified together, and you would have the gematria of 376, which is shalom. So speaking of which, I want to wish all of you an amazing Shabbat shalom. Shabbos, good Shabbos.